You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Monday, the 12th of March. The Cheltenham Festival, not too far away at all now. But we start the small matter of Monday's racing to get through before the festival gets underway. On Tuesday, of course, we're at Taunton Plumpton at Stratford for jumping action on Monday afternoon on William Hill's Racing Radio, Chelmsford in the evening. And what's more, you can get the High Five promotion at all three of our meetings on Monday afternoon. Taunton, Plumpton and Stratford. You can find a winner in a field of six or more runners at any of those venues. Goes on to win by five lengths or more, then you'll get a 15% free bet bonus on top of your winnings. Make sure you take a look at that. And for now, to take a look at Monday's action and a slightly further look ahead to the Cheltenham Festival, my name's John Gibby, joined by James Millman in the studio. Hello, James, how are you?
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm very good, thank you.
I can feel the Cheltenham excitement radiating off you.
Exactly. It's finally upon us, Cheltenham. Decks are out.
Yeah, for the first day.
48-hour decks. Unfortunately for Cheltenham, it's probably the worst time to introduce 48-hour decks because of the very, very uncertain weather. How heavy is exactly going to be, we're not entirely sure, but another 10 mils forecast between now and Monday morning, and that could certainly make it very, very heavy. Obviously, it's all fresh ground. They've not raced on it, but even so, it's going to be a very rare Cheltenham where all your anti-posts, but in all designed for horses that want better ground, you're kind of ignoring all the midwinter form in January and February. Actually, that might be the key form, and yeah, it may not be last year's Cheltenham Festival, which is key.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the implications that the weather and the ground have on the festival itself. We're going to talk about the Tuesday and the Wednesday of the festival in a little bit more detail in a second, but we'll start off by having a look at some of Monday's action. You've got two selections for us here on the podcast, one in the afternoon jumps action, one on the evening all weather action, and the first goes in the 3:20 at Plumpton.
Yeah, I've gone for Amber Jam in this 3:20 at Plumpton, trained by Lucy Wadden, ridden by Maxim Tissier, a £7 claimer. Probably listeners won't know too much about, but he's attached to Lucy Wadden's stable. We've ridden a few winners in France, and I thought he was impressed when he rode to Amber Jam the last three times, second at Doncaster, and then won last time out quite nicely 32 days ago. He's a good lad, rides very well, good value for a £7 claim, and it's important because we're taking down to 10 stone 7, bottom weight here against horses like Ballyhague Bay, who are going to have top weight. It's not going to be easy for them to give that weight away. And for horses in very, very good form, Lucy Wadden's also a trainer in reasonably decent form. I think Amber Jam's got an obvious chance in what's a competitive little six-runner race at Plumpton tomorrow.
Yeah, you mentioned Ballyhague Bay, easily the oldest of these runners, but has to concede plenty of weight, as you point out, all round here, despite the fact seeking a hat-trick in this contest.
Yeah, to be fair, you've actually got five claiming riders in the race. I mean, Tom O'Brien and Clondor Bistow is the full professional rider, but off bottom weight, it will certainly help Amber Jam's chances. Harry Reid takes off £7 Ballyhague Bay. It's certainly going to be needed, I think, with that 12 stone 2 welter burden. But he is the classy horse in the race. Just slightly concerned as the handicapper finally got hold of Ballyhague Bay. That'll be the worry off top weight. Tambura is a mare which tries very hard for Jeff Mondrol and Zach Baker. Again, another one the handicapper might just have got hold of off a marker 120. So a fascinating race. I think Amber Jam is interesting and a jockey who's impressed me in the saddle with limited opportunities, and that 7 mile claim could be crucial.
Amber Jam then for James in the 3:20 at Plumpton on Monday, and we move to Chelmsford in the evening, the 6:15.
Yeah, interesting race is the 6:15. It's a competitive handicap, just the five runners, but some fascinating three-year-olds taking their chances. A horse I really like is Sir Hamilton, trained by Dennis Quinn, ridden by Luke Morris. Back-to-back wins in novice company before, I think, a mile and a quarter stretched him. He was just too keen last time out here at Chelmsford. So drop back to a mile with a trip where he's won over on two occasions. I think he's got an obvious chance in handicap company for the first time. He had a double penalty last time. It's not easy to give away the weight anyway with a double penalty, never mind the fact he was too keen over the 10 furlong trip. Dennis Quinn doesn't have too many horses in Newmarket, but I think this is by far the best that he's trained, and he's a horse who's certainly advertising his talents. Won at Chelmsford, beating Bally the Chef by 3 lengths, springing a bit of a shock at 12-1, then followed up at Kempton and winning quite nicely, beating Briscola and 6-4 favourite. I'd say easy forgive his effort last time over a mile and a quarter behind Beautiful Memory, which is too keen over the 10 furlong trip, and I think he's got an obvious chance to drop back to a mile. Main Danger is Artichoke. Both rated 87, both got top weight of 9 stone 10. This one got off the mark at the third attempt at Kempton. It wasn't a particularly strong maiden. Did have a high head carriage on that occasion, which is a little bit of a concern going forward. But he was still pretty impressive, and he certainly rates the Main Danger to the selection.
I do remember Sir Hamilton in that Chelmsford race last time out. I think I backed something else in the race, and I've just never seen a horse patently not stay a trip quite like that. You know, it's, and having won twice on the all weather, including over course and distance over the mile, looks like it'd be much more his sort of thing.
Definitely, it should be right up his street, and I think he's a decent horse for Dennis Quinn to be going to war with.
Sir Hamilton then in the 6:15 at Chelmsford, your final opportunities to boost your Cheltenham betting banks ahead of the action getting underway on Tuesday. And as we record this on Sunday afternoon, as James alluded to earlier on, we have had the first round of declarations for this year's Cheltenham Festival. Probably the biggest news story that's come out today, James, actually doesn't concern declarations for Tuesday's racing. It's actually about a potential festival target for a horse later in the week, Duvan. It was announced this morning, or prematurely by the Racing Post, it was announced he was definitely going for the Ryanair. Then Willie Mines seemed to come out and say, well, actually, we haven't decided yet, but he might go for the Ryanair instead of the Champion Chase. In classic Willie Mullins style, he's sort of been saying all winter the Champion Chase is the plan, and now at the 11th hour he's coming out and saying, well, actually, we might go for the Ryanair.
Nothing's ever decided with Team Mullins until declaration stage, and with these horses, they're entered in every single race possible. There's always the option that they will switch targets, especially when it becomes clearer who's actually going to be taking part. Obviously, we've been under the standing that Duvan was heading for Champion Chase, if at all he was going to be running. But also some quotes from Rich Ritchie. If Duvan was running against Min and Ruby Walsh didn't choose Duvan, why is Duvan running at all? Because obviously Ruby would think that Min would be the better opportunity, and maybe that is the case. They think for the Champion Chase, Min is their best chance. Obviously, Duvan would be taking on Dassault going the Ryanair route, so very interesting to see who Ruby Walsh is going to ride in that contest, because you'd imagine he'd stick with Dassault. So, lots up in the air. I think the Ryanair is a pretty weak race, as she obviously waits impatiently. Ruth Jefferson's ruled him out of the contest. Q Card is now 12 years old, not getting any younger. It isn't a particularly strong Ryanair this time around, so I can certainly see why they're making that decision. But it is frustrating for punters that were much under the impression that he was going to be going for the Champion Chase. Not running at all.
At time of recording, Duvan 92 for the Champion Chase and 3-1 for the Ryanair, of course. Those prices could drastically change as we hear more news. James, Rich Ritchie is really one of those owners who does not like his horses running against each other. Like one of the other big powerhouses in Irish racing, Giggenstown, who'll throw 16 in the Irish National. You know, he does not like them running against each other. It's always been a bit like that. It was a bit of a shock last year at the festival when he allowed Vroom Vroom Mag and Limini to take each other on, for example. Not that I suppose he had too much of a choice.
But no, I think that literally that was because it was the race for both of them to go to. I do find that a slightly strange way to operate, because jump racing, a horse, any horse, doesn't matter who you are, can make a mistake, or even worse, actually get brought down by another horse that falls, especially when you're in very competitive championship races run at strong paces. And for me, if you've got two horses that are good enough, I'd always not concerned about having a backup. But I think he's very much likes having Ruby on his horse, or having the one choice that's the clear best option, and it's always been the way he's operated. You very rarely see the, I think, is it the green cap, is it, that's the second string?
The dark green cap, yeah. It's one of the,
it shows you we rarely ever see it happen, and he actually has two.
It's a horrible
two in the same race. But he doesn't like it. Like, the Giggenstown team are the opposite, throw as many dark balls as possible and hope one hits. And I'd probably be somewhere in the middle a little bit, I think, out of those two options. But when you've got horses like Rich Ritchie has, I'd never be concerned at having a backup. certainly doesn't affect Ballydoyle, is it, when they run their good horses against each other? And there's not like a stud value to worry about either with these jumpers.
Quite often when Ballydoyle run their second strings or third strings, even they win. How often have we seen Shamey Heffernan coming and win a big race in that situation?
What's that, Annie Power? We only saw her in the champion because Forheen got injured. We never know what would happen of a fit Forheen and a fit Annie Power because they'd never ever run against each other.
Yeah.
It would never have happened.
It does have echoes. It's not quite the same level of controversy, but it does have echoes of Votor, doesn't it? Same connections, you know, same race, the Rhino.
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, Duvan has been very much a willy won't he run in any event, and they've always had Min down for this contest.
It's not quite like when with Votor, he was on a preview night and he said, if Votor runs, he'll run in the gold car.
Yeah, definitely. Just hasn't been much murmurings about the Ryanair, has there really? I always thought it was going to be champion chase or nothing.
But there's always been the whisper of this horse as well that they might see him as a potential stare in time. Obviously,
King George.
Yeah, time is not fully on their side, but if they want to step him up in triple, being well, next season would probably be the season. Maybe this could be a pathway.
Stepping stone, yeah, definitely. But like, they have him entering these races just in case races cut up and you don't know exactly what's going to happen, so it's good to have backup plans and it's good to remain flexible. It's just probably frustrating a little bit for punters, but that is the problem when you have races that are similar-ish distances. We didn't have this problem when you just had the Queen Mother and the Gold Cup.
You were making
for one or the other.
You were making the case earlier on Racing Radio for getting rid of the JLT.
I wouldn't have a JLT. I think it's a waste of time. You then get a bigger field in both the Arkle and the RSA, or horses will wait to entry. I think there's no need for it, and I think it also dilutes the potential champion hurdle horses, because when there's three chase options after your novice hurdle career, it's generally sensible to go straight novice chasing to see if you can compete at that. Look at Bivard Air. He actually went chasing.
Yeah.
Obviously, that Supreme the year before, Altior, Min, Bivard Air, all Red three hot. Went straight away over fences. Nick Ennison realised, JP McManus realised that Chatham was looking pretty weak last year. Let's stop that chasing career. It was 2 from 2 of the fences.
He looked good. He looked very good.
Economical, I think he would have been effective in that division. But maybe if we didn't have the three chase options, people would just stay over hurdles maybe for a second season and then decide to go chase. I just think there's too many options at the moment because this year's hurdling has been pretty poor. There's not been much to get excited about. Bivadez had a couple of counters around in grade ones as well. It's not like it's been conditioned races like it was at Sandown last time, and I just think you might get a better class of hurdler staying second season, because I say generally all your Supreme horses, Ballymore horses, they go straight over fences, so there's no hanging around as a second season hurdler, and it might just make that division a little bit stronger.
Well, we move seamlessly into the other thing I wanted to talk about, which is this year's renewal of the champion hurdle. Bouvardaire, of course, our 1-2 favourite at time of recording. He is very short for this race. Forheen, 6-1. My tent or yours is 14-1. York Hill, 14s. This market since declaration time really has shifted, James. One of the interesting things is that they've declared Forheen to wear cheek pieces, and I understand you think that's a positive move.
Good idea. He needs something, doesn't he? Because ultimately he was beaten by a horse who's not even going for the champion hurdle, going for the stayers hurdle in Super Sunday last time out. So that kind of performance would not be good enough to beat Bivvy there. No harm trying cheek pieces. For me, I've always felt it never a detrimental effect on a horse. It can only help, and it might just help him find that form of a couple of years ago. One I quite like in the each way price is Elgin. That form's working out well from Wincanton. Call your name, ran out a cracker in second yesterday at Sandown under a massive weight in heavy ground in the Imperial Cup. That was a really good effort. I think his level of form isn't that far behind my tent or yours, York Hill, who, let's face it, could have been in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. He's running the champion hurdle. He's had a really strange campaign. There's not a great deal of strength and depth to the champion hurdle. Bivadere, I think he should get the job done. But for me, if you want a banker at Apples Jade, I'd say it'd be a much bigger banker for me in the Mayor's Hurdle than Bivadere, and they're very, very similar prices. Interesting what happens. I'd say Elgin each way at a decent price. I think he's the selection for me in the champion hurdle, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bivadere has a little counter round and gets the job done.
Just quickly on the Mayor's Hurdle, actually, we weren't going to talk about the race, but Apples Jade is a similar price to Bivadere in the champion hurdle. There's Bernie Des Dieu. is second four of the Mullins Walsh Ritchie team. To me, looks more of a chaser than
it's a
hurdler.
It's a Vroom Vroom Mag, isn't it? Again, popping back over hurdles.
But then Vroom Vroom Mag went back over hurdles with great success in the end. So,
yep.
You know.
We don't know too much about her. She's not really been tested. But Apples Jade, I think if she was champion hurdle on heavy ground, I think she'd be giving Bividere a real race. So the fact that she's against the mares, out of the two of them, I think Apples Jade will win much easier.
On the grounds, from an each-way perspective, 6-1 isn't a massive each-way price.
Solid, isn't she?
Don't mind the Bajar Ra.
Yep.
Of Warren Greatrix, says they were talking about going for the Stayers hurdle this mare, but been declared for the mares now. I just think it's the progressive option in the field. If anything's going to get to Apples Jade and at least be looking at securing a place for the each-way money, I think she's a solid one.
Yeah, the only caveat with the mares race is you might get horses trying to beat Apples Jade that end up fading up the hill, and one that's your 50-1 shot ridden out the back for third place could go and sneak up the hill and just beat one, because Apples Jade is so superior that you try and beat her, you may end up running your own race into the ground a little bit. That would be my only slight concern, but she's an obvious one, isn't she? Certainly the best of the British mares, but it could just harm her effort trying to beat Apples Jade.
Apples Jade is the short-priced favourite for the Mayor's Hurdle. Grade 1 contest on the first day of the Cheltenham Festival. Of course, we've also got short-priced favourites for the Arkle, relatively short-priced favourite for the Supreme and for the Champion Hurdle. That four-timer is being much talked up. Just finally, James, if you were going to look at a weak link in that four-timer, Get a Bird, Footpad, Apples Jade and Bouvardaire, where would you be looking?
It's definitely the biggest price one, Get a Bird, because you've got 20 runners in the Supreme Novice Hurdle. He's not as massive a talking horse as we've had in the past from the Willie Mullins camp.
He's not quite Mellon's level.
No.
He didn't even win the race.
Kalashnikov's a horse I love. Heavy ground. He's not really travelled that well on soft ground. Heavy ground the last twice at Sandon and Newbury, but did get the job done last time out. First flow could be very interesting for Kim Bailey. He was only ever going to run at Cheltenham if the ground was like this. He's in action. He's been very impressive so far, and like I said, Kim Bailey was quite happy to sidestep Cheltenham. He was only going to run if the ground was correct. He could be interested. But there's a lot of horses which could defeat Get a Bird, whereas I think in the other races, they should get a job done.
I was just talking to Luke Alder about the Supreme earlier on, actually, and I was saying that First Flow does have that profile you sometimes look for in the Supreme of a horse that has progressed nicely through the last few starts. I'm not a massive trends man, but traditionally horses that have one last time out do well in this race, and, you know, rather first slow over a Mengli Khan, who started the season really strongly and tailed off a little bit.
Yeah, Mengli Khan's a fascinating character. Obviously, he ran out through the wing. Wasn't a most straightforward flat horse. He's got a lot of ability. But Get a Bird beating him, it's quite hard to really put a strong handle on the form, because you can never really be sure what form Mengli Khan has actually run to. And that's the difficult thing, I think, for Get a Bird. I've only seen him the twice over hurdles. I don't really know what he's achieved. You know, Kalashnikov ran an excellent race in the big hurdle at Newbury. Amy Murphy's had a cracking campaign with him. But Somerville Boy beat him at Sandown on similar ground conditions, fair and square. And one's 10-1, one's 9-2. So with the ground as it is, that's got to be a concern with Somerville Boy. Yet Somerville Boy's been beaten by a couple of these at Cheltenham in the past. So there's lots of question marks to Supreme. It's an open race, I think. It's much more open than what the market suggests. And that's a Get a Bird. It has been strongly backed. But I do think, is that due to the colours, trainer, combination, and people just hoping to get a good start to the meeting?
An intriguing opener to the 2018 Cheltenham Festival, the Supreme Novices Hurdles, off at 1:30 on Tuesday. And if you want to hear extensive previewing of the first day of the Cheltenham Festival, join me tomorrow on the Daily Racing Podcast, when I'll be joined by Racecourse commentator Gareth Topham to look at the Tuesday of the Cheltenham Festival. And of course, you can hear all the races live throughout the week on William Hill's Racing Radio. I'm looking forward to it. James Millman's looking forward to it. James, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
No problem.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.